All right. The Book of Proverbs. Does everybody have a handout? Pens? The money to pen? What, you don't have a handout, Sherry?
Oh, I do.
Okay. I got it.
I thought okay. I never have one.
That's funny. Does anybody need the Psalms? I have quite. I think we had a light turnout that week.
Thank you.
Let me get the. I have a whole stack up here. Yeah. You guys are here. There's Kevin.
I have a pen. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if he sent that to me or not.
Boy, I don't remember. I'm not good at sending a lot of. I think I've mentioned before, but I keep all my handouts in the cloud, and I can email you guys the PDFs if you ever want them. And I email, I know Pam and Dennis, Kevin, Lauren, I several people I email. So I try to get them out every week, but sometimes I forget. All right, let me ask a question before I get started. Who of us in here makes wise decisions? Yeah.
Couldn't see any hands.
I know. See, my hand ain't up either. And that's really what Proverbs is all about. I love this book. You know, a couple of us mentioned before class that we love this book. This is such a just an awesome book. It teaches us how to make wise decisions. And you know, speaking of that, sometimes. When we don't make wise decisions, is it because we don't know what to do? Or we know what to do, but we just don't want to be obedient? You know, and it's kind of both. I think for young Christians particularly, they may not know what to do. And for the older Christians, sometimes we know what to do, but we just want to do it our way. Well, the book of Proverbs addresses both. It teaches the young Christian what to do, and then it also kind of warns the older Christian, now that you know what to do, if you don't do it, this is the outcome. So it really addresses everything. So I love the book of Proverbs. So on the handout, it's the book of wisdom. Actually, proverb, the name, it's a Latin word, proverb. It means a word. So I think that's kind of cool. So it was written around 1000 BC by Solomon. We're going to get into that a little bit here in a second, but we'll just leave that for now. There's 31 chapters, a chapter for every day. Some people try to read a proverb a day, a chapter a day. That would be a good practice. It only takes about an hour and a half to get through the book at 15,000 words, so it's a fairly short book. Okay. Written by Solomon around 1000 BC. He was in his 30s. We're going to talk about him more in a second. The definition of proverb. You know, this is a word we don't use a lot. A proverb is just simply a short sentence expressing some truth. All civilizations have had proverbs. You know, we have a lot of them, like a rolling stone gathers no moss. What goes up must come down. Early bird gets the worm. These are all proverbs that we have. The Indians had them, the Chinese have them, and Scottish, and you know, everybody has them. Now, the difference with these proverbs in the book are these are inspired by God, and they're like godly proverbs. So, but we all have proverbs. So a proverb is nothing magical. It's just a wise saying that someone has made an observation about life, like what goes up must come down, and they've come up with this witty little saying. Now, Solomon was a master at observing life and coming up with this witty saying, and that's what we have recorded for us in the book. Now, a 50,000-foot summary of Proverbs is, like I said, this book. It gives us instructions on how to be successful and prosperous in life. That's really all it is. It's a book that teaches us how to make wise decisions. You know, living life takes skills. Actually, I think some of the recovery programs will even have a class like life skills. You know, because it takes skill to navigate this life and to make wise decisions. And the book of Proverbs is our go-to book to get those skills. The thing with Proverbs 2, this it's not a book about the afterlife. We really don't talk about, Proverbs doesn't talk about things dealing with afterlife. It's about life on earth, navigating in a fallen world with the people that we're with. Does that make sense? There's really no talk of, putting up treasures in heaven and a lot of things about eternal futures. It's more about how to get along with people. Actually, last week, or a few weeks ago when I was doing Psalms, the first thing I asked was, if you were on a deserted island, what book of the Bible would you want to have? And all of us kind of said Psalms, because it's a book of praise and worship of God. Well, Proverbs is different, is that it's more about life on planet Earth and how we get along with each other. So if you're on a deserted island by yourself, Proverbs may not be the book you'd want to have, because you're not going to have all these choices and problems. So.
James, your speaker.
Huh?
You got that turned on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Could be. Hope not. Should be. All right, so that's just the summary of Proverbs. It just gives us instructions on how to live in this life. All right, so now we're going to talk about Solomon. And this is kind of cool. Like, you guys may remember back when we did 1 Kings, I believe, I did a timeline of Solomon's life. Mm-hmm. And I actually put when he wrote his books on this thing. I didn't give it to you today, since you probably already have it. But we're gonna wait here in a second, a little bit more. But okay, so Solomon, just a quick refresher on Solomon. It's been a while. He was the third king of Israel. He was actually the second son of David. Does anyone remember who Solomon's mom was? Bathsheba, they got it. I didn't get my candy bars out yet. Did I? Oh, here they are. I got a whole bunch today. There you go, three. Yeah, Solomon was, there you go, one for Amy. Solomon's mom is Bathsheba. And notice I put the second son of King David. Does anyone remember what happened to the first son of King David? Kevin?
I believe he was killed, he tried to take the throne.
No, he actually was the
Elimelech, or
he was the adulterous son of Bathsheba, and part of David's punishment was the child died
as a baby.
As a baby,
like 7 days old.
I was thinking of like Elimelech or Amalek or what?
Rehoboam, maybe,
or Absalom.
Absalom. Yeah, he was the one that led the revolt. Yeah, that's good memory. Yes. So Solomon was the second son of David. You remember Solomon built the temple? Does anyone remember how long it took Solomon to build that temple?
7 years.
7 years. Steve gets candy bar.
Oh, man.
7 years.
Off the wall.
I should have brought a big giant candy bar, but does anyone remember how long it took Solomon to build his own house?
I think it's 13.
They're 13.
Twice as long.
I've always thought that was funny. Yeah. We spend more on our own stuff than God's.
Yeah.
And remember that God granted Solomon more wisdom than any other man. So fortunately, we have this book written by the wisest man on the earth. All right, now Solomon wrote how many books of the Bible? Does anyone remember? How many books in our Bible did Solomon write? Thinking. This is the first one.
Three,
yes. Rachel is correct. I'll give her and Dell one. Solomon wrote three books, and Proverbs is the first one we're going to talk about. Can anyone name them? Proverbs this week, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Those three books. Now, what's cool? I know you guys can't see my timeline here, but it's kind of interesting to know the backstory in these three books. Now, you know, Solomon's life, he started as a 19-year-old guy. I'm just going to go there. He kind of gets to the top of his career as a man in his 30s. And then he starts getting into a lot of sin and things like that. And then it, kind of at the end of his life, he gets right again and he dies. Okay? All right. Proverbs, our books are out of order as to when he wrote them, which is cool. Proverbs he wrote right here when he's at the top of his game. He's the Mac Daddy of Israel. He's king in Jerusalem. He just finished the temple. God's given him all this wisdom. And he pens Proverbs. That's why it's such an awesome book. He's up here. Now next week, we're going to talk about, or actually 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Ecclesiastes, which he wrote right before he died, right here, which is kind of his chronicle of this sinful time of his life. I won't talk too much about that now, but that's what Ecclesiastes is. Now, Song of Solomon he wrote when he's just a kid falling in love with this girl. And that's why it's a book about love, and it's, you know, very romantic and all that. So, we are at the top of his game, Proverbs. Solomon's going to teach us some things. Let me get that there. All right. See, Ray, you need a handout, Ray?
I got one.
Got one, okay. We're just getting started. Just talked about Solomon. He had the 300 wives, or 700 wives, 300 concubines. Solomon was a type of Christ. We knew that. What's that?
That's a handful.
That is a handful. I'd hate to be Valentine's Day for that guy. 700 wives.
How do you remember anniversaries?
Oh, man, 700 wives.
Remember their names.
Yeah, their names. Yeah.
I just wanted one of you.
We had numbers.
Yeah, it's a lot of them. So,
that's where honey
is. Yeah, numbers on her head. Little tattoos. Number four.
I'd hate to be 666.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's true. It would be funny.
Like, I don't know if I want to marry you.
All right, a key verse in Proverbs. Key verse in Proverbs. Most people kind of agree it's 9:10. Yeah, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. All right, so this verse is kind of a bombshell. It introduces some words and concepts that we need to just kind of talk about for a second. First, the fear of the Lord. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? You know, the best definition I found is back in Psalms 19. Let's flip back here. Psalms 19, 7 through, I don't remember, 7 through 10 or something like that. But there's a little description of different attributes or things about God. In Psalms 19, I'm going to pick it up in verse 7. This is a cool little passage here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, I'm sorry, Psalms 19, verse 7. Yep. Yep. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. And look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So having fear is clean. Clean is like pure, perfect, sinless. You know, it being clean, when something is clean, it's right. It's good. You know, so having a fear of the Lord is good. It's not a fear of being afraid of God. It's more like kind of the way we look at electricity. We respect electricity. We're not afraid of it necessarily. We respect it. And, you know, like God, we shouldn't be afraid of God, but we respect it. No. I was going to, but I'm going to move on. All right. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, the next few concepts are this, and I put it on your handout, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and discernment. These four words are kind of the keys to Proverbs. And understanding how to kind of unlock all this stuff. First, we got knowledge. All right, knowledge, D-G-E. Knowledge is simply understanding or having facts about stuff. You know, in our age with internet and our smartphones and all the stuff we have so much information at our fingertips. But, I mean, arguably, we're probably the worst off as a civilization than people, you know, 100 years ago that didn't have all this information. You know, our nation's hurting, our schools, our marriages, everything is in the tank, even though we have all of this knowledge. So having knowledge does nothing for you. Puffs you up. But when you get knowledge, you can get, God can give you wisdom with that knowledge. And wisdom is knowing how to use and make good decisions based on that knowledge. And it's kind of, these are all kind of conceptual things. I'll try to tie them together here in a second. Understanding. Actually, I've seen I've seen somebody do a little math thing that wisdom, knowledge plus having the facts and knowing how to use them can give you understanding. All right. This is kind of what's missing even for us today. When we turn on the news, we can get all this knowledge about what's going on in the Mideast with Syria and Israel, but they don't really know, have God's wisdom, what's really going on to where they can have understanding that we're in the end times.
And they only give you certain parts of it.
Yeah, they give you what they want to know. Another good analogy would be a kid, that 16-year-old kid that gets his driver's license. They've studied their MoDOT book, and they have all the knowledge about the road. They know how far to follow people and all that kind of stuff. But you wouldn't want to give them your brand new car and drive to California or through rush hour in L.A. because they don't have the experience, wisdom, and understanding that come with life. So that kind of makes sense. So Proverbs gives us the knowledge. Going to God will give us the wisdom and understanding on how to apply the knowledge. So that's kind of what Proverbs does. It's instructions on how to make these wise decisions and then going to God to get the discernment on when to how to make those. So that, did you have a question, Zach?
Well, that, I was going to say,
well,
could you relate wisdom to every experience in our...
Yeah, it very much is. Yeah, they have no experience. Yeah, same thing with the college kid. Yeah, you get out of college, you might have all this knowledge, and that's what we have. We have so much knowledge, but we're just still a wreck because we don't have wisdom. Proverbs will give us the wisdom. And I talk a little more about it. Actually, Proverbs actually lays out how to get it, and we'll cover that in a second. Okay, so Christ in Proverbs. Christ is the fulfillment. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Christ is wisdom. It's a cool study. Chapters 8 and 9 in Proverbs are actually the wisdom. What is wisdom? And it's basically Christ is the manifestation of wisdom. So that's where he's at in Proverbs. Actually goes to first person, but we'll look at that in a little bit. And I put a couple New Testament verses that show that Christ is the hidden wisdom of God. We'll kind of cover those when we get to that section. Proverbs is kind of hard to teach because it's kind of disjointed. It's not something that you read it like a story, like a history book. It's these little instructions. I was telling Sherry the other day, I'll get to that part in a little bit. Well, I was telling her that the Proverbs is kind of like if God gave us little fortune cookies, we pull out the little proverb and we glue like 800 of them together. That's kind of what the Proverbs is.
So wasn't he writing this to his son?
Yes. Yes, and that's the first section. You're exactly right. He was. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs to his kids to instruct them and give them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So, all right, now, the cast of characters. Now this is something else neat with Proverbs. This is why I drew my little highway of up here. Has anyone here seen or read the book Pilgrim's Progress?
I tried once.
I love that book. And the video too. I've got a little cartoon. I watch it. I probably watch it every couple months. Whenever I'm feeling down, I'll just watch it.
What's it called again?
Pilgrim's Progress. You can get through it. That's
first saved. Yeah, it's just difficult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. John Bunyan. I think I heard that at one time in church history, it was like chained to the pews, like Fox's Book of Martyrs and Pilgrim's Progress, along with the Bible, but. Here's the deal with Proverbs. All right, I've told you guys before that I love character studies. That's why I love the Kings and the Chronicles, because you learn about people and how they act in life in different situations and what their end is. Well, with the Kings and the Chronicles, you might study a king and you've got a couple chapters about him and you see what he does. And every king has a proverb. Well, in the book of Proverbs, it just boils it down to the one-line fact about this guy, whatever it is. You don't have to read a chapter or two of a story to find out about a guy. You just go straight to the proverb that talks about, do not be enticed by sinners. You know, that was Jehoshaphat, or something like that. Does that make sense? It's the Reader's Digest of a lot of the stories back here. So you can just go straight to the proverb. So, and in that, there are a host, there's a bunch of people that we're introduced to in Proverbs. They're all nameless, faceless. We don't know anything about them. We just know about them because of their behavior or their characteristics. And I've kind of listed them out here. There's probably 100 of them, but I kind of boiled it down to these 10 or so. And what these are, these represent people in our life that we come across, like the angry man or the brawling woman, and how Proverbs says we should deal with those people. That's basically what Proverbs is.
You live in the corner of your house.
Living in the corner with the brawling woman. So to kind of start is the simple. The simple person is the first character that we run across in Proverbs, and the simple person is us. We start out simple. When we're born, when we come up, we get saved, we're simple. I mean, there's nothing really good or bad. You're just simple. You're easily deceived, you're gullible, you don't have all the knowledge that you need to have yet. So when you start out on life, you're just a simple dude. You gotta have a beard. You're on the straight and narrow. You're on the road of life, you're simple. And it's not wrong, but it's just wrong to stay that way. That's why we have the Proverbs, to instruct us on our decisions. All right, the fool, the next person that's a character in Proverbs. Well, I'm glad you said that, because when we think of the word fool, we think of the corny, you know, court jester guy with the hat and the bells and stuff. Well, in the Bible, a fool is a lot darker than that. A fool, actually, the 1828 definition, a fool is a wicked or depraved person who follows his own inclinations, who prefers temporary pleasures to the service of God. Yes, Dale?
The Bible definition of a fool is part of Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1.
Is that the one that says, a fool says in his heart there is no God?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That. A fool is someone that doesn't believe in God. If a fool is, and they don't want to. All right. And I put down that there's four types. In Proverbs, we run across a simple fool, a fool, a mocker. That's the guys that we see on Facebook, make fun of everything. And the wicked fools. Yeah. All the fools are morally and spiritually deficient. And they're rebellious, and they want to follow their own path. So that's someone that we run across that the Proverbs are going to warn us to steer clear of. The evil man. That shows up around 5 times throughout the book. Doctrinally, it's the world system, the religious world system, but this person's totally sold out to wickedness. We also run into the strange woman. There's a lot of these in Proverbs, the strange, the harlot, the whorish. There's over 20 mentions of the strange woman, the harlot type, the seductress. And I think it's probably because, like Kevin said, Solomon's writing Proverbs to his sons. So there's quite a bit in there about the evil woman, the strange woman, the harlot woman, and the brawling woman. We all know. And see, in our mind, we all know who these people are. I don't know if, about you guys, but when I read about the strange woman or the brawling woman, I think of, well, I've met her at work, or I've met them somewhere in my past. So, the virtuous woman, someone else we come across, which is the ideal woman. It's the ideal helpmeet for us. She's good and supportive. It's chapter 31. There's only two women in the Bible that are virtuous.
What's her name?
She has no name. None of these characters have names. Except one. There is one other. Does anyone know what the other virtuous woman?
To say Sherry.
Oh. Couldn't do that. Can't do it. Now she is. All right. Ruth is the other lady, is the only lady that's really called to be virtuous. She's actually called a virtuous woman. Ruth is. All right. Then the angry. There's five or six mentions of an angry person.
Been looking for Ruth my whole life.
Are you ruthless? Yeah. Well, it's his joke.
I'm sorry.
It's my joke.
That's his joke. He always pulls it. You pulled it on Brian here a while back, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. All right, then the sluggard. Now, I think this is interesting. There are so many references. There's like 20 references to the sluggard or the slothful person in Proverbs. All kinds of warnings to steer clear of these guys. That they'll offload their work on you. They'll blame you for things. You can't count on them to do anything because they always have some crazy excuses. There's a lion in the road, or it's going to rain, or there's always something. These guys are funny to study. Then the gossiper. This is another one that there's like 13 or 15 of these. Very dangerous. You know, there's a list in Proverbs of the seven things God hates. And a lying tongue and sower of discord among the brethren are a couple of them. So that's our gossiper. So he's really hated. Who?
Tongues.
Tongue, yeah. And James. James 3, yes.
Like the tail bearer.
The tail bearer. Yeah, I kind of boiled these down because what these in Proverbs were introduced to all these types of people, but on my table I consolidated them a little bit. Now the last one is the wise person. And this is our goal for us, to be wise in our everyday decision making. Because as we go along the road of life, you know, we meet the angry man, and he tries to talk us into going off the path and getting, you know, bogged down in the mud or whatever. You know, we meet the evil man, another guy here. He'll try to get you off the path, and it's just a path of destruction. You fall off a cliff like a lemming. You'll meet the lady, you know, the temptress.
She's got a house.
Who? She's got a house. Yeah, so all these people that we meet in life all trying to take us off our path, and they all lead somewhere. Well, the goal is to be the wise person that makes it to the end to get your crown of life. By living a godly life and being successful. You know, I heard a guy say one time, like, the purpose of Proverbs is to let you be successful in life, be prosperous, you know, like I put in the summary. So if you think about that, like, who do you think is more successful, Bill Gates or Billy Graham? You know, Bill Gates had it all. I mean, he was probably, I mean, everybody worships that guy. But in God's eyes, he had nothing. Where Billy Graham is the opposite. He didn't have all that money, but he did, he got the crown of life. He got many crowns, but he made it. And that's our goal. When I say we should, the Proverbs teaches us to be successful, it's not, you know, of course, it's not the money. It's the crown. So. And Proverbs teaches us that as we're on our road to life, and we meet these people, the angry man, the brawling woman, what decision we need to make to steer clear of them, to stay on the path to get our crown. All right, does that all make sense? Now, and another thing too that Proverbs is good at, you know, I'm 53, and you know, I've lived some life. I'm probably getting close to the end here, and I've had a lot of experiences, and I've learned a lot of things, and I've learned a lot of these principles and proverbs the hard way because I made the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
And now I know if I see the angry man again, that I'll make the right decision because I've already done this. Okay. We don't live long enough to experience all of these people and to learn all of these things. We don't live long enough to do it ourselves necessarily. What Proverbs encourages us to do is to observe others and learn all these principles from other people. Like if I see Steve going through something that I would never go through myself, maybe I'm not in, you know, that situation. If I'm a wise man, I'll learn from what he does. And so I don't have to make the same bad decision, not that he made a bad decision, but to make the same decision. Does that make sense? I'm kind of butchering that, but we don't live long enough to get all the experiences in life to learn all these
red flags
on our own. The Proverbs encourages us to be wise, to learn from others, collect all this information, so then we can make the right decisions too. We don't have to make the wrong decision first and learn from it. Does that make sense? Yeah, Zach.
I did it right one, but same day the guy took it over because he hit the front brake.
Yeah.
He did it. I didn't have to experience it.
Yes. Note to self, don't hit the front brake. You don't have to get on to, well, does this really work? Yeah. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
That's a lot of the reason I stayed so past year and a half.
Yeah.
Because I was just bringing old past things into new relationships.
Yeah, you've learned. All of us have taken wrong turns in life, and we learn from it. We smart from it, is the word Proverbs uses, so we don't make that same mistake again. Now, a fool will make the same mistake again and again and again. That's a fool. Don't be a fool. You make it one time and learn, or you see someone else make it and learn. So. All right, so the book of Proverbs, let's just talk about the book now, can be divided into four sections. And like Kevin said, the first section, chapters 1 through 7, if you notice those chapters, 1 through 7 all start with my son, you know, my children. He's talking to his kids. You know, our parents all teach us things. And Solomon is trying to teach his kids how to have knowledge, how to have instructions, and how to have wisdom. Yes.
When I first got saved, that was very precious to me. It's like, my God was saying my son, you know.
To you. Yeah, like my Dell. My darling Dell. Yes.
Not that.
But you're right. I mean, that's the way we should look at this. God is talking to us, and the first seven chapters is to us, telling us why we need the Proverbs. The first seven chapters isn't really so much the Proverbs, but Solomon's telling his kids why you need them. And if you look at, let's turn to Proverbs 1:1. I'm going to look at 1 through 5 here. And this is Solomon telling us why we need the Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. It's kind of the 5 twos. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Verse 4 is the key. To give subtlety to the simple. Subtlety is like refinement, sharpens. He's wanting to teach the simple guy subtlety and refinement so he can learn knowledge and discretion. to the young man knowledge and discretion. Okay, five, a wise man will hear, will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So that's why he's giving his kids these proverbs, is so they can know the wisdom and instructions, they can learn the knowledge of God. We'll talk about some of that a little more later. Now in chapter 2, and then he goes through chapter 1 kind of telling them why they need it. Well, chapter 2 is kind of more of my favorite. It's a key. I put the little guy with the key because this is a key in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Kevin, would you care to read 1 through 5?
Sure. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear to wisdom and incline thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Yes. Okay. That is kind of hard to pick out of it, maybe, but that is the four-step plan on how to put proverbs in your life and how to get instruction to get wisdom. So let's just look at it for a second here. My son, like Kevin said in verse 1, this is a four-step plan. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So you got to receive them, you got to listen to them. Now, how do you hide God's commandments?
18 inches.
You memorize the scripture. Yes, another way is you can memorize it. What I used to do is write it out on note cards and put it on my dash. I actually keep some in my billfold. Whenever I had a little bit of a drinking problem, I'd need some quick encouragement, I kept different verses in my billfold that I could, in a pinch, take out and just refresh and get these commandments in my head. All right, so verse 2. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. So don't just memorize these scriptures or write them out. Put them in your heart. Verse 3 really gets better here. If thou cries after knowledge and lifts up thy voice for understanding. Do we go to, when we're reading the word, do we cry literally asking God to help me understand this verse? Help me understand what I need to do, what decision I need to make, so that we, and praying about it, lifting up your voice for understanding. And then verse 4, searching it as silver and searching it as for a treasure. You know, do we want the instructions so bad that we're willing to cry about them, pray about them, and get up early in the morning and read, search this out, and look at this Bible as a mine that we need to go mining for treasure? I want to know what God says about something, whatever problem you've got. This is the four-step plan to get these instructions in your life and the wisdom and knowledge to what to do with it. Does that kind of make sense? It's very cool how he laid it out here. And if we do that four-step plan, verses 1 through 5, and then we get verse 6. For the Lord God giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And that's kind of a mic drop. If you do those things, God will give you wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up the wisdom for the righteous. So I think that is so cool. I love that little passage there that really tells us how to get it. And the rest of the chapter, he kind of goes through all the goodness that we get by implementing God's instructions and wisdom. We don't just have an easy life, but we also have a longer life. It says it'll lengthen our days. We may have better health. You know, like I'll just pick on smoking. If you make a wise choice not to smoke, you'll probably live longer. You'll be happier. You'll have more money. You'll be fearless, all these other things. So the first section of Proverbs kind of lays out why we need them. All right, now then chapters 8 and 9, any questions on that, why we need Proverbs? We probably all realize that. We need the instructions. All right. Proverbs 8 and 9, chapter 8 and 9, are the, we call them the wisdom chapters in praise of wisdom. Chapters 8 and 9 are interesting chapters that they, it's kind of a parenthesis in the book. You know, he tells us why we need the Proverbs. Now there's a little parenthesis. Here's what wisdom is. And let's praise wisdom. Wisdom's in the street crying for attention, trying to get men to wake up. Wisdom is actually the type of Christ that we mentioned early. Actually, look at 8. Let's turn to chapter 8, verses 17. I've always loved this verse. Dealing with wisdom. Wisdom starts speaking in first person, which is kind of cool, in chapter 8. Verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's cool. So you can take it, you get up early, or you find him early in life when you're like 12 or something. So either way applies.
What's that verse?
17, 8, 17. Yeah, then if you kind of flip down to verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 22, this is where, remember in Psalms we talked about the messianic Psalms where you're reading something David's writing and all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, he's talking about Jesus. This is Jesus we're talking about now. That same thing kind of happens here. We're reading about wisdom. And we get down to verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. So now we're talking about how wisdom is set up early on by God. And the whole rest of this chapter kind of talks, it's more about Christ. Down verse 32, the people hearken unto him. Blessing are those that keep and hear my ways. Then verse 34, 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watches daily at the gates, waiting at the posts of my door. So now he's calling himself a door, just like Jesus was. So it's kind of cool. So that's chapters 8 and 9. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time there. But now chapter 10 is the next division of the book. Yes, Dale.
I just wanted to point out that in Luke 11:49, it equates Jesus as the wisdom of God, because it says, therefore also said the wisdom of God. I was in the prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute.
Yeah. Jesus, many times,
Jesus
yes.
Is the wisdom of God.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, I put those verses in the beginning because there are a lot of verses in the New Testament that call Jesus the wisdom of God. I mean, that's like without argument. That's very clear. Yeah. All right, so that was the second section. Now, the third section is kind of the good section. I was wanting to spend a little more time on this section. This is the actual Proverbs. If you look at chapter 10, verse 1, 10:1 actually starts the Proverbs of Solomon. And this is where we're going to start getting introduced to all these people. This is where every verse is a standalone proverb. Like I mentioned the fortune cookie, you know, not to be disrespectful at all, but you know, it's like God is giving us these little one-liners for the next 30 chapters of instructions on how to deal with all these people. All right, and I put, you know, Psalms, we talked about a couple weeks ago, is Hebrew poetry, and there's a bunch of cool things about how the Psalms are written. It's the same with Proverbs. There's the three types of Proverbs. Proverbs is also poetry. The contrast, the completive, and the comparative. Really won't go into all of those, but chapters 10, when the Proverbs start in chapter 10, chapters 10 through 14 are called the but chapters. It's all about comparing what the wise man does this, but a fool does that. It's just buts over and over and over and over. And it's a very cool comparing things. Now, let me hear. I'm going to kind of skip through some of this. The completive. I did want to look at some completive. Now, in chapter 16, we kind of start into the completive type of poetry. And I actually got this from Kevin. Frost. But if you look at chapter 16, this is kind of an example of the completive type of Proverbs, where a statement is made and then a second statement adds to it. A few months ago, I heard Kevin say something about you were at work. You didn't really feel like being there. You was kind of down. But you just started praising the Lord and committing your ways to Him.
I didn't work for my boss. I didn't work for my supervisor. I worked for God.
Yeah, like you said that yesterday, too. And I put your name in my Bible a couple months ago because I thought that was cool. And this is an example of a completive proverb in verse 16:3. This is a cool proverb. It's an instruction on how to lift your spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you want to be in a good mood, if you're not in a good mood and you want to be, commit what you're doing to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. It's just a one-liner. Yeah, Kevin brought that out. I wrote his name in here. And I write all over my Bible. And things like that are refresh my memory that Kevin's right. If I'm not feeling good, if I want to feel better, that's what you do. So that's an example. Like every verse is its own principle in Proverbs. There's like 800 of them, something like that, depending on how you count them.
Which one was it? Okay.
16:3. So like I said, it's like God took all these godly fortune cookies and glued them all together, just little one-sentence things, and that's what chapters 10 through 30 are. You don't really read it like a story. And actually, you know, I've even thought when we're done with going through the Bible, I would love to go through Proverbs like verse by verse, take a couple months, and just talk about every principle, because you can really elaborate a lot on these guys. Yeah, Dale?
Yeah, well, like Proverbs 69, that's also completive or whatever.
Yeah.
And man's heart is by the way, but if you really want to know which way to go, the Lord directed this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that Proverbs is such a gold mine. It's like having we've got a treasure chest full of gold, and it's hard to pick out any single one because they're all good. All these chapters or verses are so good. Speaking of that, in your handout, I don't have me one. You know, we're not going to go through it in full, but what I thought I did was, in your handouts, Well, that's Psalms. I'm thinking, wow, what the heck? I actually gave you guys a couple handouts of like Jim's favorites. And another one of the handouts are the world's. Wow. I have no Proverbs. Yeah, all right, thanks. Yeah, in your handout. I thought this was kind of cool. All right, one of them is the modern thinking compared to God's instructions. So what I did here, I kind of went through my Bible, and I found the world gives us proverbs and wisdom. You know, do unto others before they do unto you or something. There's all these goofy sayings, especially on Facebook. So this handout are a bunch of modern thinking that we hear. You know, take your paycheck and go to the boats and you'll double your money. You know, something like that. That's an accepted practice with some people. So I took those proverbs and I showed what the Bible really says about those things. That makes sense. So, and the other handout I did, the colorful verses. In the chapters 10 through 30, when God's giving us all of these cool one-line proverbs, one of the things he's so good at is taking everyday things in our life and showing us a principle out of it. So like the first one here, he's talking about vinegar and smoke. That proverb, as vinegar and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard that sent them. And you think, what? What's that all about? Well, vinegar and smoke are very unpleasant. They irritate. No one wants to be around it. No one wants to drink it. So is a lazy person. No one wants to be around or send a lazy person. So I just took a bunch of the colorful Proverbs and kind of explained a little bit of what they're saying. I love the way God uses everyday things in the Proverbs. Now, on the back of that sheet, I put Jim's favorites. This is kind of personal to me, and all of you guys, all of us, should have our own, you know, Kevin's favorites. Because, you know, like I said, I'm 53 years old, and I've been a Christian 30-some-odd years. And in my road of life, these are the Proverbs that I've committed to my muscle memory, I call it. These principles are like instinctive to me. I've learned these over and over and over and over. I've been hurt. I've been, you know, everything else. So these, whenever I come across these situations in life, I don't have to wonder, what's God want me to do? I know what to do because I've done it before and God showed me in the past what to do. So these are like my favorite Proverbs that kind of keep me on this path. And we all need to have those in our life. So when you come across the angry man, the evil man, the brawling woman, the seductress, you know exactly what to do.
Flee,
yes. So I like those, you know, like I say, I had to pare mine down because I have a lot more than that, but those are just kind of the big ones. But the point is, I think, is that when you read through these Proverbs, chapters 10 through 30, the actual Proverbs, how awesome it would be to memorize Proverbs. I mean, just imagine if you memorized Proverbs and you had that like a Rolodex in your head, that when you come across some of these people in life or situations, people wanting you to cut corners on something, lie about something, just you know exactly what to do and to make the right decision. How cool. But you should all have, you know, we should all pick out some and just really try to live our life by some. And has anyone heard of muscle memory? I put that a couple times in the handout, but we use that a lot in IT. Muscle memory is like something that you practice so much that it's an instinct. You know, like a fire drill. And when we hear the fire drills go off, we don't have to think about, I wonder what that light's blinking about. And we know it's a fire drill. We go. We go outside. Meet in a safe place. The Proverbs should be the same way. We need to know some of these guys so well that they're instinctive to us. They become muscle memory. We don't really have to think or pray about what to do. We know what to do. We know we should flee that guy or that girl. So, anyway. All right, so that was that section. Any question on the actual Proverbs? We're not really going to go through them verse by verse because that would be, we'd be here for months.
Cool.
Yeah. The last section, it's an easy section. It's the virtuous woman. So yeah, let's flip over to chapter 31.
That's funny. Somebody was trying to get me a date to the fair yesterday.
Yeah.
And I said, is she a godly woman?
There you go. That is a good answer. Or that's a good, I mean, yeah. Is she hot or is she a godly woman?
Well,
that's a better question.
They needed a godly man.
Oh. Well, that's a good question. Yeah, that's really good. So now in chapter 31, notice how it says the words of King Lemuel. So it's kind of funny to read the discussion. Some people think Lemuel is a pet name, nickname for Solomon. Some people think Lemuel was some king and the ancient king, but no one really knows. But we're going to assume it's Solomon. So this is probably about Bathsheba, this proverb. And basically, it's the Mother's Day chapter that talks about how good godly women behave. It's a study into itself. Very, very cool chapter. Talks about how she takes care of her man, she gets up early, takes care of her family. You know, all kinds of good stuff there. So, that's how Proverbs closes. So again, it's just a book full of instructions on how to make wise decisions about money, where to give it to, who to not give it to, about sex, you know, easy sex, bad, you know, all the stuff about sex, relationships, easy money, bad, you know, all these things in life, the instructions are in here. You know, one of my pet peeves when I was first saved, I've told you guys this before, or I've said it somewhere, but when I was first saved, I was 18, and I would hear these pastors say and preachers say, you know, if you got a decision to make, go to the Bible. God will just go to the Bible. Well, I went to the Bible, and I didn't know what I was even reading. I'd open up to Jeremiah or something, and I'm like, I'm not finding my answer, and these guys are crazy. The Bible isn't addressed my problem that I'm having at work right now. That was my attitude for years. Until I finally realized this is one of the places that where you can safely go if you need to make a decision. And another thing that's in this is if you don't know to make it a good decision, Proverbs tells you to go to wise men to get counsel to help you make that decision. So he covers all the bases, God does, in the book of Proverbs. So the instructions are in here. How to get wisdom's in here. And the repercussions if you don't. So just to kind of close up again, I put how does this apply to me, the little guy with the question mark. This is, again, why we need the Proverbs. It's because we live in a fallen, sinful world. When we're walking this path here, you know, we got all kinds of lions and tigers trying to get us off the path. By learning the Proverbs and making wise decisions, we soften the effects of this sinful world on our life. We can navigate it better and be successful. And then point number two, we all know that our decisions determine our destiny. By making these wise decisions, getting the crown, we avoid these pitfalls that people are going to want to take you to. And then our conclusion, how's this help me tomorrow morning when I get up and go to work? God has given you all you need to make a wise decision about anything in your life. It's in His Word. If you can't find it, find someone that can help you find it, like a pastor, and make wise decisions. And that is Proverbs. It's kind of a hard book to teach because it's, you know, it's choppy.
If I have a problem, I just go to your Proverbs.
You could. I mean, they've worked for me.
I just found one of them. I was wondering where it was.
Which one's that?
You said about the wisdom thing. For by wise counsel shall make thy word, and a multitude of counselors there is safety.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's one of the things Steve, you know, does with some of our people. Like,
I do that all the time.
Yeah, come to him. He offers himself up. Come to me if you need help making decisions, or don't make a decision until you at least run it by me. I mean, that's wise.
I ask probably six different people the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll usually go to Steve and Pat Lee.
Yeah.
And then from there I'll go to JP.
Yeah.
The house from Taylor.
Yep.
And then, well, usually before all that, I try to go to my discipler, but
yeah.
I forgot him just now.
Yeah, so you've got a network of counselors, and we all need that network of counselors, and that's another proverb, is to be around wise men. If you want to be wise, be around wise people. And just proverbs, we can go on and on. So that's Proverbs. Now, next time, we're going to talk about Ecclesiastes, which I don't know if you've read Ecclesiastes. When you start reading it, my first thought would be, was why is this in the Bible? What's this all about? This is a depressing book. It's about stuff I shouldn't be doing. Why is it in here? Well, there's a very good reason why it's in there. And remember, Ecclesiastes was written as Solomon was doing bad. Bad Solomon wrote it. Well, he got better at the end. But so it's a fun book. It only takes like 45 minutes to read. I've read Ecclesiastes two or three times this week alone. It's an easy read. So I encourage you guys to read it, and we'll talk about it next time.
You to judge bad.
Yeah. It's actually the atheist's favorite book. That's something that I learned a few weeks ago. Atheists quote Ecclesiastes as a defense of atheism more than any other book in the Bible. Oh, that was interesting. I read a whole article about that the other day. Well, because Ecclesiastes kind of proves some of their points if you read it out of context. And that's kind of what we'll talk about. All right, Zach.
That's what I was getting at.
Context?
Or what he was saying, that you're going to try to prove using his word that you don't believe him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Ecclesiastes, eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. I mean, that's their motto, so. But there's consequences. So anyway. Yeah, Steve's got a few.
I don't know if you noticed that.